بسم الله الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم وما يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى قال في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في حديث صحيح قل أمنت بلاط مستقيم وقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر إن الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى gave us complete deen 1400 years ago What I want to do in the second khutbah is to try to give some translation of the meaning of what I said in the first khutbah because hearing Arabic words can have some benefit but if you're not an Arab pretty much all you're going to get is the ajr if there's any involved but what would be the meaning? When we say Alhamdulillah, this means that the praise, the worship, the thanksgiving are all for Allah. When we say Nastainuhu, Astaghfiruhu, this means that we seek refuge in Allah and we ask for His forgiveness and His protection from the evil of our deeds. Why do we say that? Because it's for sure we have evil deeds. Nobody's perfect and all of us are sinners. And so we have to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek refuge in Him from this evil. Because when we commit it, there's a law of reciprocity. Whatever you do is going to come right back on you. Either here or in the next life. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mitigates it with some of His rahmah. And that's what they call in English grace. And you hear the brothers talking about, the Christian brothers talking about the grace, the saving grace. Well, hello, we got that more than they do, because we have Rahman Rahim. Allah doubles up on it when He says it like that. Rahman Rahim, Rahama, Rahama. This is the root for those two words. And Allah doubles it, so you can understand how grace, how much graciousness, how much this grace it really is for the believer. And this, we haven't even got through the first sentence yet. And it says the evil of this, because when we do evil, that's the evil waiting to happen right back to us. And we're carrying it around. We don't realize it, but it's there. It's been written. But there's a way to get around it. That's to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek refuge with Him and ask Him to forgive us, and then don't do it anymore, of course. Then we say that whoever Allah guides, nobody will misguide them. But whoever Allah misguides, then they're going to find anybody to guide them. You know what? Some people ask you about that. They say, well, how is that fair? And why would Allah misguide somebody? We know that there's no power except the power of Allah, right? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means there isn't any might, power, energy source other than Allah's might, power, and energy source. So why would Allah guide some people and not guide others? And people complain about that. Some of the not-Muslim, they say, whoa, man, that isn't nice. Look, God, He should just like guide everybody. You say, well, duh, does He do it? Does He guide everybody? And the answer is absolutely not. The majority of all the people are not guided by Allah. The majority. Even today, when we have so many Muslims on the earth, 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 people on this earth are still misguided. Is that true? So why? And what makes us think that we're so special that Allah should guide us? Well, first of all, we don't think we're so special. In fact, the only thing special about a Muslim is the fact that Allah did guide them, and it's Allah that did that. But why does he guide us? And why does he misguide some others? And this is, of course, a topic for a whole khutbah, but I'm just going to mention it in here in passing. It's because it's what the people want. Allah does not force anybody to love him. He doesn't force anybody to come to him. And he doesn't force anybody to go away from him either. It's what they chose. It's what they want. Lady tried to argue with me about that yesterday on the telephone. She's arguing about that. She's Christian. I said, really? She said, but there's a real good lady and a good man, and they do so and so, and they do this good deed and that good deed. Why would they have to go to hell? I mean, they did all that, you know, they sacrificed, they did so many things. I said, did they do it for Allah, or did they do it for Jesus? She said, yeah, but they didn't know. I said, they didn't want to know. Well, nobody told them. I said, no, Allah can show anybody what he wants them to know. يَلَامُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمَا خَافُهُمْ وَاللَّهُ يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ إِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Allah says this in the Quran in Ayatul Kursi. He said, he has full knowledge of everything that you do, whatever you did in the past, what you do in the future, whatever's happening, Allah has full knowledge. You have no knowledge except the knowledge which Allah gives you. So this subject of guidance is very, very big. And if you want to be guided, you have to ask. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. In fact, you better ask real sincere, or you could blow it real easy. May Allah always guide us. Ameen. Then I said the statement which is the most positive, powerful statement in the universe. The statement for which all things are created for and everything is relative to. The statement, La ilaha illallah. Ashhadu means I bear witness. Shaheed for what? La ilaha illallah. There isn't anything ilah. Could be anything. It could be like a god, like in India. Some people pray to elephants, others pray to rats, some pray to the cow, some pray to the monkeys, and they ask them. By the way, they will tell you, we're really only praying to God, but we're using these things to get to God through the, but we know there's only one God. They say that. But don't the Christians say the same thing? See, we're not really, really praying to the cross or to Jesus. We're praying to God through those things. The icon helps me focus. But Allah considers that shirk, making partners with Allah, and He doesn't accept that. He will never accept that. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah. I bear witness there is none to worship, love, devote myself to, illah, except for Allah. The only one worthy of any worship. We have some CDs and tapes and programs on the internet, and you can go and listen. When we just talk about the word Allah only, Christians came to Islam just explaining the word, what does Allah really mean? It doesn't mean the God. It doesn't. And it doesn't mean God. Ilah means God. Allah means, literally, the only one worthy to be worshipped, never plural, never male, and never female. The word itself is enough to guide the people when they know. Allah. Wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. What does that mean? And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is his messenger and his servant. Then we read from the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimin. And it means here that, oh, you who are the true believers. And this word is to have this correct belief in Allah. Give the haqq to Allah, the rights that Allah has coming to him. And don't die, except in a state of submission to God's will. Antum muslimun. Some people think, oh, it just means you have to be a Muslim. So that means the Christians of Jesus' time, they couldn't go to paradise, and the Jews of Moses' time can't go to paradise. The people before Abraham couldn't go to paradise, and that's not true. In fact, our Quran tells you the opposite. The people who followed their prophets definitely went to the paradise. Alhamdulillah. وَمَا أُمِّرُوا إِلَّا لِيَبْدُوَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ اللَّهُ دِينَهُ نَفَعَ وَيُكِمُوا السَّلَى وَيُتُوا الزَّكَى وَذَلِكَ دِينُ كَيْمَةً. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah. Then the people before you were not ordered to do anything more than to establish worship and keep it pure for Allah. Worshipping Him alone without any partners, establishing the Salat. So they had Salat too. They had Salat. And pay the zakat, which is the charity that they're supposed to pay. And this is the deen al-qayyimah. This is the way of life most clear and mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did he have commandments that he sent to Moses? Yes or no? Did he have commandments that he sent with every prophet? Did he order them to do things through their prophets? And did they reject it? Yes. Categorically. Name a commandment, they would break it. The very first commandment that ever came to the human being was what? Don't eat the fruit This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment that came to Adam. Don't eat the fruit. Did he break it? Yep. And Eve, did she break it? Yep. And Moses brought the 10 commandments. We know it's a lot more than 10, but that's okay. They didn't look in the book of Leviticus. If they did, they found several hundred of them real fast. It's only the first one we're concerned about anyway. You don't need to worry about the rest of them if you didn't understand the first commandment. Thou shalt not have any other gods beside Allah. La ilaha illallah. So when we say Muslim, don't die except as a Muslim, but we mean don't die except in a state of submission. Because the life that you go through here is your deen. It's not your religion. How many times have we heard people say deen means religion? Want me to prove that's wrong? I'll prove it. Easy. When a non-believer asks you to worship something other than Allah, your response is what? Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun la abudu ma ta'budun. Yes or no? That's your response. Say to that kafir, say, oh, you disbeliever, I will never worship what you worship, and you're never going to worship what I worship. But look how the surah ends. Lakum deen kum waliya deen. To you, your deen, and to me, my deen. How do you say that to a kafir? Because kafir don't have any religion. If he's an atheist, what if he's a mu'hid? Total atheist. Huh? Does he have a religion? No. But he has a way of life, doesn't he? Yes or no? So it means deen is the way of life, what you do. And wallahi, I found the same exact words in the Bible. Paul, Saul, whatever his name was, said he used to persecute the followers of Jesus, even unto death. But he didn't call them followers of Jesus. He called them followers of the way. And they used to capitalize the word way with a capital W to show that it was a proper noun. Whoa. Now, of course, when we started showing them that, then they stopped capitalizing it. You know, the next version comes out, the new improved, whatever. But that's their problem. Let's stay on our subject. We're talking about don't die except in a state of submission to Allah. That's in the Quran. Then he says, ya ayyuhan nas. And listen to this. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to who? All the human beings. This is not just for Muslims. The Quran is for anybody who would like to pick it up. But it's only going to be guidance for who? Read the first the Surah Baqarah. Alif Lam Mim. Dalika al-kitabu la rayba fi hudal muttaqin. And then he gives some conditions after that. It's only going to be guidance for those who have taqwa for Allah. And everybody else will pick it up and play with it and try to do something else with it. Read the beginning of the next surah, Surah Al-Imran, and he tells you in ayah number 7, go look at it, that this is the book. Allah sent it down. Clear verses, which are the arkan, the basis of Islam. But he's keep reading. He said, but then he has other verses in here that are mutashabihat. What's Mr. Shalihat? These are doubtful. You don't know. Maybe it could be this, it could be that, allegorical, we're not sure. And Allah said, those that have the disease in the kulubukum, in their hearts, those people who have this disease spreading fitna in the land, they'll try to give meaning to those verses. And nobody knows the meaning. Allah said, illallah, except Allah. SubhanAllah, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it so those who testify to every ayah in the Quran, ameen, ya Rabbi. Then, alhamdulillah, we were saying that Allah is calling on the human beings to have taqwa for their Rabb as well. So it's okay for us, when we're given the da'wah, we're given the message, the invitation to Islam, it's okay for us to tell them, you should fear your Lord. Because it's the same Lord. Tell them, because Allah said it. Allah de khalaqakum, He's the one who created you guys, min nafsin wahidatin, from one single soul, Adam. And from Adam brought Eve, his mate. And from these two, he said he brought Batha minhumma rijalin kathirin wa nisa. And that means he brought forth so many men and so many women. MashaAllah. So it's important for us to establish this in our minds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran what to say to ourselves and what to say to the non-believers as well. Calling ourselves always back to this what? Ya yuladina amanu attaqallah wa kulu qawlan sadida. That's the next one I want to read to you. And this one, think about it. Allah here is saying, oh, you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. I'm going to stop right there. Because I want you to think about this. If you're a believer already, I thought you automatically get taqwa. I guess not, huh? Ya yuladina amanu attaqallah. Wait a minute. This means, just because I say I believe there's a law, it doesn't mean I am mutaki yet. And in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49 of the Quran, didn't Allah chastise some of the Bedouin when they came into Islam? And they said, we are Mu'min. And he said, you don't call yourself that yet, because Iman has not yet entered your heart. Better for you just say, we have Islam, we have submitted. If somebody said, I believe there's only one God, and he created everything, does that make him a Muslim? Does it? Say, well, I think it does, Shaykh. No, hold on. What if they said, I believe there's only one God, and he created everything, and he has no partners? There's no one to worship alongside of him. Does that make him a Muslim? Not yet. Not quite. Because I ask you a question. Iblis, the devil himself, does he know that Allah exists? Yes or no? Does he know he's one? It's not helping him, is it? It means you got to do something about it. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, attaq Allah, do something about it, and fear Allah as he should be feared, respect Allah as he should be respected, love Allah as he should be loved. Too many of the scholars today, they leave that out. I know they mean it, because I sit with the ulama many times. They love Allah, and they always say, I love Allah, and they're talking about Allah. But guess what? The non-believers, when they hear us talking about fear Allah, they say, oh, you don't love Allah, your God is not having any love. He's our what? Dude, he said it in Surah Baruch. He said he's our dude. What does that mean? He's the epitome of love, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just don't mention it a lot, but it's there. Hello? Our God's not deficient. Some people's opinion of him might be, but there's nothing deficient about Allah. Alhamdulillah. I read some other things for you, and I want to give some translation to that as well. We said that you should obey Allah, ati' Allah, wa ati' Rasul, to obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Obedience to the Messenger is obedience to Allah. Does it say that in the Quran, yes or no? So don't tell me, I don't take hadith. Allah told you to take them. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That's in Surah Al-Imran. Ayah number 31. When they come to you and tell you, I love Allah, Allah loves me, don't tell me what to do. This is between me and Allah. And Allah tells you what to tell them. If you really love Allah, follow His Messenger. Because then and only then will Allah love you. And then He'll forgive your sins. Because He's the forgiver and He's the merciful. Then I read something that, by the way, you hear it in every khutbah. But it's worth translating so much because it's so important, these 3 points. The first point is فَإِنَ أَسْتَقُوا حَدِيثِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. The best hadith, stories, message is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran. The best hidayah is the hidayah you get, the guidance you get from following who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَشُرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُتَفَتَّحَةً. And the worst of all evil is to make something into this deen of Islam Dalala, which is a misguiding, because all of these misguidings are astray, and all of the astray going is into the nar, the fire of hell. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Then I read for you something because I'm in your masjid here, and the name of your masjid is Al-Ikhlas, isn't it? So which surah did I read? You say, well, that's a small surah. No, it's not. Please read the hadith about this surah, the Sahih hadith by the great imams of collecting hadith, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim. What does it say? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this surah is worth how much? One third of the Quran. One third of the Quran. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Why do we say this is Ikhlas? Baqarah is named after the cow. It's got a cow in the story. Baruj has Baruj in the story. Atarik has Atarik in the story. But the word Ikhlas is not here. Why do they call it Surah Ikhlas? Why don't they call it Surah Ahad? Because the Prophet ﷺ called it Surah Ikhlas. Because it's the biggest Ikhlas there is to recognize who Allah is and who Allah is not. Because your ibadah, your worship is nothing until you know who you're doing it for. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. And they translate that so sadly into English by saying, Say God is one. It doesn't say that. It says, say He is Allah. He is the Ahad. And Ahad is not one. Wahid is one in Arabic. Ahad is unique. Uniquely one, because no Ithneen is coming after it. There's no two coming after it. Is that true or false? So it means He's so unique. As-Samad, He's the one through all eternity, all of His creation depending on Him, but He doesn't need the creation. Beautiful name. Samad. Lam Yalid. Well, Lam Yulad. And this is so imperative for us to get this message across to everybody who thinks God can have a son, or that God is a descendant of some kind of genealogy of gods or something. He has no progeny. He has no genealogy. He is not the byproduct of any kind of sexual act. He's Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is nothing anywhere, anytime, any place that can compare to Allah in any way, shape, or form. If you can see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it, or imagine it, that's not Allah, is it? Hello. And there's nothing that shares in the divinity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, قُلْ مَنْ تَبِلَهُ ثُمَ اسْتَقِيمُ. He says, when they ask Him, tell us about the deen, something that only you could tell us. He said, just say this, I put everything into the trust of Allah, and then be steadfast on what you said. And then finally he mentioned, and I want to elaborate on this in our programs while I'm here with you this weekend, is this very beautiful statement, أَدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ مُؤْمِنْ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. This material existence that we live in today, brothers and sisters in Islam, is nothing more than a prison for a believer, but it's the only paradise for the disbeliever. May Allah give us the true understanding of this deen. Give us the fiqh deen, because when He loves somebody, He gives them this fiqh deen. When He wants good for you, khair, He gives you fiqh deen. May Allah give us the fiqh of this deen. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the success to practice this deen. Ameen. May Allah wake us up to the true message and put us on the siratul mustaqim. Ameen. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي دُنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. آمين. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ. آمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. آمين.